Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. This is show number 11, and in tonight's episode, we are going to be deciding a victor for the Sprocket Challenge. And to help us with that, we have Mr. Alex Yates here in the studio to help us crown a winner. So we're going to talk to him about that, discuss some of his gas, and some other things. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. This is show number 11. Andrew, how's your week been, buddy?
Has it really been a week since we last recorded?
Yeah.
It seems like just 2 days ago.
I know, but it's been a solid week, I swear.
These podcasts just seem to come thick and fast, don't they?
Yeah.
Goodness me. Yeah, it's been pretty busy. Pretty busy as ever. I'm hoping for a bit of a break soon. And I've got some vacation time coming up, and I'm already thinking about which cameras to take.
You're not going to have any cameras, though. You're giving all yours to Neil, aren't you?
I am, yes. But I still have the 6x12 reality. So while Neil is playing with my 6x6 cameras, I shall be spending some time falling in love with my 6x12.
There you go.
And by the time I get those babies back, then I'll be able to load that 6x12 with my eyes closed, you know?
Yeah, you should be able to.
Mm.
Definitely.
So that'll be good. So, I'm still no further through my pile of films. They're still sitting looking at me.
Still sitting looking at you. We have Alex Yates. Just having some trouble with Anchor. So he should be back. He should be coming in a second.
Well, we like to build expectation up.
So we do.
For our listeners out there, while we're waiting for Alex, you can now join us on Flickr. I think there might only be there's a very select if you join.
Flickr. Do we have a Flickr account?
We do. Yeah, I keep telling you to join. You don't listen to me. It's called, funnily enough, the Lensless Podcast.
Yeah. This last week has been so busy, I haven't had a chance to sit down and do it.
It's no excuse.
Yeah.
You're a bit of a slacker, really.
I am.
You are. So you can join Flickr, which is a great place to share images. And also the discussion pages are up and working now. You can access the discussions on your phone. So you can join us there and be one of a select. Introduce yourself. There's a couple of threads there on introducing yourself, and I shall try and keep on top of Flickr and try and respond.
There's Alex. Alex, you made it.
I made it. Yep. Hey.
Only partially late.
There's only so much filling in we can do.
It seems to take a while for the email to come through, but I'm here now, so that's all cool.
Awesome.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Yep. Really good. Thank you. Yeah. Nice to be here.
You guys are having some nice weather over there. It seems like. Andrew was saying.
Yeah, it's not too bad. It's not too bad. It's probably as good as it should be in May, but could be a bit warmer.
Just like Norwich.
I was just going to say, that leads us into how is the weather for you guys? Worldwide Pinhole Photography Day walk that you guys had organized.
Yeah, that was not so good. So, yeah, the walk on Pinhole Photography Day kind of descended a little bit more into dashing from coffee shop to coffee shop. There was a point where I got the group to a what should be a really nice spot, and you know, out of the 20 or so people that were there, when no cameras come out, you know, it's really time to get inside, right. You know, but it was good. It was a good day. It was a really good weekend, to be honest.
So. Cool. So if you're listening and you're not familiar with Alex, Alex is a pinholeista on Instagram, right?
Yep.
So, Alex, why don't you just take a moment and let everybody know a little bit about yourself and what you're into photography-wise.
Sure, absolutely. So, as you say, pinholeista on Instagram, which is a tag I've used for a while now. And I've been shooting pinhole, I think, since about 2010. And I started shooting pinhole really as a way to kind of experiment with different forms of photography. So I shot a lot of photos when I was a teenager and when I was a student. And then I stopped for a long time. And in the interim, you know, digital photography came in. And I wanted to get back into photography. And like many people do, I bought a DSLR and took a trip to Japan, which was amazing, with a DSLR, which was heavy. And I had a single sort of kit zoom lens, which was fine. But like many photographers, I found myself, you know, leaving the camera on auto and just pressing the button, and, you know, that horrible whirring noise as the moment
right. The
shutter goes, you know, and that was me. And, you know, there was no creative satisfaction with that. And you know, I kind of found that I really wasn't enjoying photography in the way I had when I was a teenager. And, you know, during that trip, decided that I wanted to enjoy photography in the way I had as a teenager, but I needed to change my process. And really by chance, I was in a store called Bic Camera, which if anyone's been to Japan, in particular in Tokyo, Bic Camera is a remarkable store. They don't just sell cameras, you know, you can get various different types of sake, snacks, watches, and cameras as well. And I bought two things there. So I bought a little 35mm compact, which I still have. And I also bought a P. Sharan 35mm pinhole kit.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking, you know, I'll use up some extra cash. We don't really want to take yen back to the UK because we don't accept yen in the UK. And bought that and got home to the UK and decided after a few weeks, I better build that camera, and discovered, of course, at that point that all the instructions were in Japanese, which is somewhat tricky. But the internet being the wonderful thing that it is, you know, I was able to find instructions in English and build that camera, and it was great, actually. You know, really good, decent quality 35mm standard framing pinhole camera with just a kind of mechanical cardboard shutter, cardboard camera, lots of black tape to kind of prevent light leaks. And built that, shot some photos, and, you know, shot a couple of rolls of colour film with that, bracketed the exposures, and found, I think the most important thing was I was really enjoying the process.
Sure.
For a couple of reasons, you know, that horrible adage of, you know, pinhole slows you down and film photography slows you down, right? I mean, that was true, and it certainly got me thinking a lot more about photography. So I think, you know, my way into pinhole was a way of sort of thinking more about my photography and thinking more about, you know, composition and those types of things. And I graduated pretty rapidly from the P. Sharan into a zero image 6.9, which, you know, let's be honest, going from a cardboard camera to something like that, it was like, you know, the equivalent from going from, like, I guess a Datsun sort of piece of shit car. Sorry, I wasn't going to swear.
No, you can. Go ahead.
Through to a Rolls Royce. There you go. Thank you. You know, through to a Rolls Royce pretty quickly. So yeah, zero image 6.9 with the cable release, the whole caboodle, which I still have. Although I did destroy that camera on pinhole day in Portland, and we can come back to that when we talk a little bit more about the group and how that's all
sure. Developed
over time. So shooting pinhole for a number of years now, and I think my kind of practice has developed years, but I'll pause there and see if there are any questions you want to ask me before I just keep running on, because I have a tendency to just run on.
I have one of those kits. I have to put it together, one of those cardboard, the P. Sharan.
Spell that for us, please, because I'm not familiar with what you guys are talking about.
It's P-Sharan, S-H-A-R-A-N. Sharan.
And, yeah.
Probably like the fruit. Or
P. Sharan.
Yeah.
Sharon, sure. I think what's the on Twitter I follow an account that's Pinhole UK.
Oh, okay.
And they do like a matchbox foldable 35mm camera that's the same way. The front kind of looks like a Ouija board, I think. And you just fold it all up. I've talked to them on Twitter a little bit, and he said he was going to send me some so I could check them out. So maybe he'll get some.
Go. Well, now you've mentioned him and all the followers he'll get, I'm sure you'll get that camera.
But Alex, how many pinhole cameras do you own as of now? Because you always seem to have a new one every time I see you.
How many pinhole cameras do I own? More than I care to remember. I have terrible gas. a significant number of pinhole cameras.
What's a significant number though? You mean like 50? No, there's not even 50 models available, are there? Pre-made cameras.
I've probably owned somewhere around 30, but then my collection goes up and down over time. So, and you know, right. Some people have been cameras that I've made or people have made for me,
sure,
as well. So, at the moment, probably in terms of main cameras that I'm using, I'm probably using 4 or 5 cameras.
Yeah, that's not much.
So, yeah, it's not too bad. All of them medium format.
Alex, what was that one? When I saw you earlier in the year, you had that wooden curved plane one, didn't you?
Ah, yes.
Just before you got the shits and had to run off to the toilet.
Thank you for mentioning that. So basically it was Andrew's company, Corey. It made me ill.
oh yeah, right. You know, I have to remember that.
Yeah, you'll get used to it, man. You know, you just suddenly feel terrible and have to work. So that camera is a remarkable thing. So that is a Parrotcam P90 made by a guy called Kurt Mottweiler in Portland, in Oregon. And basically, you know, that it's more of a work of art than a camera. But if you talk to Kurt, you know, which I do, or converse with Kurt by email, I should say, then he will tell you that those cameras are built to be used, and they are. If you think the engineering and the construction on a zero image is good, then, you know, Kurt takes these things to a whole different level. And I definitely recommend anyone follow Mottweiler Studio on Instagram.
Just the work he's spell doing. That out, Alex. Spell that out so I can write
Mottweiler, MOTTWEILER.
I'm writing this down too, Andrew, so...
Yeah. So Kurt, basically, he has an incredible workshop, and I think, if I'm right, you know, certainly all of the woodworking he does himself, and it's all done by hand using, you know, the one we're talking about, the P90, has a really nice sort of cherry veneer, and then I believe he also turns the knobs himself. So
he does.
Engine turned, brass knobs, you know, the whole construction of the thing is incredible. It's like, you know, it's like a real hark back to, you know, the days of craftsmanship. So I can't recommend them highly enough, but yeah. You've got to really like pinhole photography to get a Parrot P90.
That means it's expensive.
It does, and I'll leave people to go and find that on his website.
He does the wood block where it's one piece of wood, and then he just – I was looking at those, and those – I like the – they look great.
So I also have one of those, so
– Oh, my God.
Like I said, terribly. So I actually got the wood block just before pinhole day, so I've only put 2 rolls through it, and I have not got the results back just yet. Different, you know – build quality for sure as the P90. I mean, again, a wonderful thing, and like you say, made from a single block of wood, and then with that brass or steel sliding shutter with magnetic closure on the back. I mean, it's really fantastic. It's a decent size as well, and I kind of got that because I probably shoot more 6x6 than 6x9.
Me too.
You know, as a travel camera, that's going to be perfect. So really, really nice thing. I think what's really great with both of them is you can change the pinhole out. Mm. So They've got like a little rubber O-ring that holds the pinhole in place, so you can swap the pinhole out if you want to do that. You know, apart from, I think, the quality of craftsmanship, which I would say on the P90 is higher, and there's more kind of bespoke pieces on the P90. I mean, they're both great. The other thing with the P90 is it has a pneumatic shutter that you control with an air pump, which is just, I don't know how it works, but it's like magic, and you don't know.
I've seen that.
Make anything like that, and it's remarkable thing.
We'll maybe reach out to Kurt and see if he can come and explain it all to us.
Mm. Yeah, that'd be great.
You should. He's a great guy. You know, yeah, he's a really good guy. So definitely recommend that. So
we had the Irishman on last week talking about pushing his reality cameras, which I love.
Yeah, and I have one of his as well. So I've got one of the early. In fact, no, that's a lie. I've got two of his. So I've got an early 6x6 and a 5x4. I don't use the 5x4 as much as I.
Well, actually, you know what you can do with a 5x4, because Alex has so many pinhole cameras, he gives them away. So I inherited one.
I'll take the 5x4.
He hadn't owned it very long, but I came away from pinhole day.
Well, we should again camera. probably
come back to that
when we talk about pinhole day a bit more.
Yes.
So I love James's cameras. The one thing I would say about the 6x6 is it's probably a little wide for my taste. And
I like that wide side of it though. I like getting really close. I don't like the standard kind of pulled back. Pinhole look. I like that up close. That's my style. I have to get uncomfortably close to stuff.
Uh-huh. And that's great. I mean, the light fall off's nice. It's you know, it's pretty extreme in that camera as well. And again, if you like that kind of light fall off and the framing that gives you, it's really good. I mean, it's horses for courses, right?
That's
why I have so many cameras, because it means I can pick the right camera for the right situation.
Oh, that's sure. The reason.
There you go. Not just because I'm like a kid in a sweet shop to slightly steal Min John Ju's.
That's what I tell Julie, why I have so many cameras, not just pinhole, but others as well. So,
yeah.
You've got to have the right camera for the right situation, the right job.
You do. And I think, you know, coming back to kind of my practice, I'm more and more mixing, you know, when I'm doing project work, so kind of personal projects, mixing pinhole and lens-based photography to kind of mix them together to kind of, you know, really, really show a scene. I mean, I think for me, pinhole works. It can work really well as like a single artistic image. And, you know, I think that's some of the great pinhole photographs that you see. And I like that. For project work, I struggle with the aesthetic sometimes, because, you know, generally I like my photography to be really, you know, quite simple, and so the image to be a simple composition, and that can be difficult with pinhole, although there's some pinhole photographers who I think do that really, really well.
Yeah.
You know, Marcus Kaesler in Germany is probably the prime example of that for me. You know, his aesthetic is incredible, his working process is really incredible. And
spell his surname for us if you can.
Kaesler. And okay. It's Marcus with a K.
That was it.
Yeah, and it was Marcus who, I kind of met Marcus first at the Obscura book show in Berlin. And then he organized an exhibition in Heidelberg as part of the photo festival, which he was kind enough to invite me to participate in. So one of my projects called A Short Walk in the Dark, which is exactly what it says on the tin, was exhibited in Heidelberg as part of that photo festival, thanks to Marcus.
Awesome. But
definitely it's really very much worth looking at his photography and his process, because certainly he can get that real kind of simple aesthetic. He shoots large format. It's a homemade camera. And I've never seen a man stand as steady as he does. You know, so that he doesn't use a tripod, so he either stands steady or he uses kind of intentional camera movement in his photographs as well. And yeah, his process is incredible, so definitely worth checking out.
Awesome.
So yeah, so I have a lot of cameras, you know, and like I say, I'm trying to mix the processes up. You know, I really like that idea of using pinhole to illustrate what it's really good at illustrating. So things like movement. So I've got a kind of series ongoing that it's kind of one where I need to find the right person to do it with, but with Craftsman. So I've done a shoot for that with a denim maker in Spain, bringing together a couple of my passions, because I'm a bit of a denim geek as well.
And we don't need to know about your fetishes on this Eugene family.
We don't need to know about your Japanese denim fetish.
My Japanese denim fetish, I'm afraid, is well known. I can also tell you all about Japanese pop music if you want, but that's probably going a bit too far as well.
Yeah, well, that'll be the subject of another show, I think. We'll get you on to talk about Japanese culture.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, I like, I was going to say, I like that idea of movement. And Pinhole also, and I have a little series I've been doing for, I guess, about 3 years now. I don't know when I'm going to finish it, but I do the same thing, but I'm calling it pedestrians, and I kind of intentional camera movements, you know, standing still and just, you know, just at the very last second, just shifting, you know, a couple degrees.
Oh, nice.
And it gets, people's faces tend to kind of pull, like you'll still see their initial exposure, and then they kind of walk and they just kind of pull forwards or backwards, depending on which way I move my camera, but. I like movement too. I think that's one of the main things about Pinhole that I like about it the most.
And I think for me, you know, with this project with Makers, so I've also done some work with a ceramic artist in Norwich called Paige Mitchell, who makes incredible little mugs and things like that. She's got this really, really nice aesthetic to her work, and I did a shoot with her last year. And you know, for somebody who's at a potter's wheel, right, you know, if you think about it, there's not much around the wheel moving. You're in a studio, but the actual movement of her as an artist, and then of course her hands and the wheel, it's fantastic. So Pinhole works really well for...
I saw some of your images about from her studio on Instagram, or maybe your website, I forget where.
Could have been either, actually. Yeah, I think I've got them up on my website now. I kind of lose track. My queue for images that I need to upload is horrendous, because I'm spend more time shooting than I do uploading. So.
Hey, that's good though. I mean, you always have something to pull from, as opposed to the opposite of shooting enough and constantly being like, I'm not happy with what I'm doing because you just don't have enough to pull from to, you know.
Well, I'm also never happy what I'm doing. So kind of part of my process involves when I get my images back, when I get scans, I then kind of pull them and dump them into a folder on Lightroom, and then leave them there for a few weeks. And then I'll go back and start sorting through them, because I never like anything that I see when I first get it.
Oh yeah. I'm the same way.
I think most people are, right. You know, unless you're really confident about what you're doing. And, you know, actually, to be fair, when I'm shooting a project, I tend to know what I'm going to get. And I really like that, because, you know, getting the images back and then knowing straight away, yep, that's what I was hoping for is great. But, you know, my work is kind of a mix of projects and travel photography and just day-to-day stuff. And it can be a real mix.
I had a professor when I was in college who critiqued whenever we had a portfolio class. And one of the things he told me, and I still kind of adhere to it now, is only show what you feel strongest about in your best work. You know, even if it's a slow trickle of things, only show what you're really strong about and what you really want to convey, because that's kind of the point of doing it, you know, and not just random people, things that you don't even like, you know.
People use Flickr in lots of different ways. I see some people I follow, they kind of dump everything on there, you know, and it's, I've never really used it that way. I've tended to just trickle things on there, some images that I like.
Yeah.
I've started to try and put little series of images on Flickr, but mainly I do that on my WordPress site. I tend to put this series of images on WordPress.
Yeah, and I've kind of given up with Flickr now for various.
So, we have a group.
Well, there you go. I'm kind of an Instagram now, but I also use Instagram as clickbait to try and get people onto my website. But
dare you?
I know, it's shocking, isn't it? You won't believe what you see if you click on my website.
Well, I was reading. I picked up. I'm very conscious of your time in Corey
no, don't worry about it.
And Alex, but I picked up a copy of Black and White Photography magazine in the airport the other day, and I hadn't read it in a while. And there's a photographer there, a commercial photographer, called Tim Clinch. And he uses mirrorless digital cameras and iPhones a lot. He's used film in the past, but for his commercial work now it's all digital. And he says that he's pretty much all Instagram now, and he recently got approached by someone to do a shoot. And he said, "Well, how did you find me?" He said, "Well, it was Instagram. Mm. We really like what you're doing, and could you do this?" And he said, "Well, what do you think of the images on my website?" He said, "We haven't looked at it." Yeah. He said that his Instagram is becoming his main platform. But other folk, I see, other folk just use Instagram as a sort of visual diary of what's going on, which I think is probably what it was intended. Other folks would use it as a showcase for their work, and I think it's all valid, you know?
Oh, yeah, no, it all works. I mean, social media is, you know, I think there's no rules, right? That's why social media is so great. And, you know, social media for me has been a really positive experience, but I think, you know, you've just got to use it in the way that works for you. So, you know, my Instagram is a mix of pinhole, lens based, digital, occasional kind of just, like you say, visual diary stuff. It's a mix of all of that type of thing. And then obviously all the clickbait to get people to come onto my website. You know, not that there's any reason for me to try and get people to come onto my website other than for them to look at more
right.
Because well, that's where all your fetish work is, isn't it? The denim.
Well, no,
that's where the collection of denim is housed.
Well, that's going to come back on a different website soon.
So. Oh yeah, in the dark web.
I'm keeping the denim off the web at the moment. Although actually, I think there is a crotch shot on my.
Ooh.
Recently, and maybe with that we should take a break. Okay.
Yeah, let's do that. We'll be back with the nitty-gritty sprocket challenge judging.
Nice.
All right, we'll be right back.
Bye. See ya.
All right, we're back. And we are going to have Alex take a look at the pinhole sprockets. Andrew?
We are, yes.
Yes.
And they're looking good, aren't they? I've had a quick look at them, and there's some really really cool images there.
Yeah, nice ones.
I've managed to, we've had to hunt for them because whoever organized this really just sort of did it in a fairly fly-by-night manner.
Really so, blew it?
Yeah, but I think we've tracked most of them down, and I found Lorraine Healy's lovely boat images.
Yeah, Alex, you made it.
There I made go. It. Yes, I'm back. Welcome.
All
back
right.
You missed all the fun, listeners. It's been a while since it may have just been like 30 seconds, but it's been a little while we sort out a few anchor gremlins. And we had some giggles while you were away, but I think Corey would be pleased if I didn't repeat what he said off air. But anyway, we'll save that for another time.
Yeah, well, that's another show. We'll wait.
It's time well spent for me, so I was able to refresh myself on all of the entries to the Sprocket Challenge, which has been great.
So... what we're going to do is since I'm recording this, I am not going to close out Anchor because I'm really worried about it. To go in and look at the entries, I've looked at all of them and I've pretty much seen them all. So I'm going to. I know this is maybe a bad choice, but I'm going to rely on Andrew's judgment. and I'm going to be kind of flying blind with this. So we're just going to have to kind of go through them and take a look at them.
Well, I'm not judging. Otherwise, I'll just win.
No, you're bribing. You're not judging. You're just bribing.
Okay, so does this right. mean then that all the pressure is on me? So
yes, over to you, Alex.
All right. So, I mean, I think firstly, it's a really great competition. You know, and some of the entries have been really good. So I'm, you know, I'll fess up and say before it's not something that I do very much myself. And I think, you know, if I think about what I'm looking for in an image, which is simplicity, that type of thing, and an image to tell a story, there's definitely a few images that kind of do that for me. But I think let's maybe give a little shout out first of all to some of the entries. So I think both, you know, Andrew and Corey, your entries are great. Infrared, always tough with pinhole, I know, having done it myself. And pin sharp portraits, Andrew, are also really good, although, you know, did you get the framing quite right? That's a question for another day. I think I heard you as I joined both talking about Lorraine's images as well. And there's one there that I really like, which is kind of between two of the boats. So that's Lorraine Healy with the image going through two of the boats, which is, which is really good.
Yeah.
Do you think she was, do you think she was scuba diving there or just maybe there was a platform? I think she must have been a load.
I would like to think that Lorraine walks on water. So she was, just floating gently above.
We can get her on the show, can't we, Corey? And to talk about it.
Well, then you can confirm it. There's also a really nice one of the kind of shopping cart aesthetic with the light trails, which is always always good as well. I suspect again that the photographer there was floating. This is Graham, homemade cam by the looks of things.
Is that the one with all the sort of light sticky things going on to the right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a kind of image technique I've used as well, and I think it's really effective there, which is good. But I guess, are you ready for a drum roll?
Yes.
All right. So the image that I think speaks to me the most is by, I think the Instagram name is eich_lux.fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's the image of the Amtrak Pacific Surfliner, which, as I say, if I think what I'm looking for, kind of simplicity in an image to tell a story, that for me is fabulous. I really like it. I think the, the kind of sprockets and the film numbers and stuff like that add to it, but also just as an image, it's fantastic. So there you go. So I think Dave Eichinger, and I have almost certainly completely mangled his surname there.
I can't even see which image you're talking about. So
there you go. It's on the, how did I find it? It was looking at the lensless sprocket hashtag.
Yep, got that.
And was posted about a day ago. And it's basically a man in a baseball cap.
Yes. Delta 3200.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I'm not sure if that is off the film. It looks like it. Yeah, no, it looks like it is. So that's kind of cool as well. Because, you know, I think that, right, you could look at it and go, well, also on the train, is it part of the film? So there's a really nice aesthetic there. I like the contrast in the image. But as I say, it's simple and it really...
I've not really seen that image, but...
Well,
that's so cool, isn't it? Strangers napping, 90-second exposure, 35 in a 120 Holger.
There you go.
With his mate, by the looks of it, Callie grown 17-11 on the train.
Good job, Dave.
What are the hashtags? Yeah. eich_lux.phun.
Otherwise known as Dave.
He's actually in the States, isn't he?
Yeah, he's in San Diego, by the looks of it.
That means I got a mail. I was hoping Andrew was going to have to.
well, you see, that was part of my reason for picking him, Corey. So you had to.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Dave, Dave Eichinger, yes.
Yeah.
So, Andrew, Dave, if you send the show an email, give me your address and what kind of... film you like to shoot, I'll send you a prize.
Yeah, some really expensive film. Really expensive film, Dave, because Corey's loaded.
I have some fancy stuff in my freezer, I'm not going to lie. So
he's. I'm just looking at his Instagram site now, and the other one, which I liked, but I can see why you chose the one you did, because if you're into those sort of bold graphic shapes, it's the one of the handrail and the stairs and some other buildings in the background.
Yeah, it's the Guggenheim, isn't it?
Is that where it is?
Yeah, I think it's... Oh, no, sorry. Walt Disney Concert Hall in LA. So,
telling a story? Absolutely. And it's a brave use of pinhole, isn't it, as well, the winning entry?
Yep. No, absolutely.
So awesome. More to the point, forget all these people who sent their pitch in. What about my winning shots? and Curry's.
Your winning shots and Curry's winning shots.
Come on, Alex. Come on, Alex.
So you want me to judge between you or tell you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I
prefer to both. So I'm afraid, Andrew, despite, you know, our constant arguments, no. owes lunch, and I suspect it's going to end up being me. No. There is one image of Curry's that I think just trumps yours. Oh. That's the image of the, I'm guessing it's a statue at a veteran cemetery.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and there, again, simplicity, but also the sprockets really help the framing.
Sure.
Image. So that is probably the one that speaks to me most, although, of course, they're all excellent.
Thank you.
But don't you have any comments around the use of photographic gimmickry, like infrared?
Multiple exposures?
Well, that's a whole different story, and that's one of the reasons I don't shoot sprockets, is because, you know, again, for me personally, I prefer to rely on the image rather than the gimmickry. But sure.
Yes, absolutely.
Regardless, that image still stands, even if it's not infrared, right?
No, they were really cool. I like the sofas, and I think even Curry, congratulations, even if I say it through gritted teeth. Even if you had not used infrared film, you didn't need to. You should have been confident in your abilities and just gone straight, because they were just winning shots anyway. They were far better than mine.
Well, you know, I wasn't sure about I wasn't completely sure what you were going to be bringing to the table, Andrew. So I figured, you know what, I might as well just go ahead and
you got to put everything into it, right, Curry? You know,
Don't just
stop at the image. Let's add some gimmickry in there as well, just to kind of make sure you get that winning edge.
I thought for sure that the couch's picture would have been the one that you liked, but that's all right, you know. Yeah.
So the couch picture for me, I kind of like the couch picture, but again, I think, you know, if you're thinking about the use of the sprockets and how they add to the image, do they add anything?
Yeah, sure.
And I would say maybe with that image, they're not adding so much. Whereas, you know, both with the Dave's winning entry, where you've got the use of the edge of the film, and that's kind of really effective, although probably by chance, although maybe I'm being unkind today, but also with the sprockets on your shot, you know, they really add to the image. And if you're going to use a technique like this, you've really got to make sure that you actually use it as part of the image making, right? It can't just be a image that could be made without. So there you go.
You see, this is where I went wrong. I didn't think about it enough.
So my question here is, Andrew, what are you sending me for my prize?
Well, you'll have to wait and see.
All of his best wishes, Carl.
Some of Alex's jean shots.
The crotchless ones.
Yeah.
They all have crotches, fortunately. But at least all the ones that are on public show.
Yeah, thanks for judging, Alex. That's great. This is our first time doing this. So next time, hopefully, we'll have a little bit more organization. Will be a little bit better. I have to get on Andrew about that, because he definitely seems to have dropped the ball on this one.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, what you've got to think about, Corey, is there's some people that are reliable and some people who aren't. Let's leave it at that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
What is this gang up on Andrew week?
There's always going to be a fall guy in every good show.
Yates, you had your chance at podcasting and you blew it.
This is exactly why, right? Because I was just mean to everyone. So.
No, you're good value. Well, if you weren't so difficult to pin down, we'd have you on every week.
But I am remarkably difficult to pin down. Cool. Yeah. Good stuff. Well done, everyone. I mean, I think all of the entries, there's a lot of really interesting stuff there. You know, it's always good to push yourself and stretch yourself in different ways, right?
So, yeah.
You know, that is, everyone's a winner, right? Because everyone, you know, maybe a lot of people have tried something new. Maybe they'll enjoy the aesthetic. So everyone's a winner. It's just Curry is more of a winner than Andrew.
I think it does beg the question, though, why bother with a technique? Any technique, really, you know, and I think your comments are great, Alex, that, you know, if you're going to use something like sprockets as a technique, you know, a very conscious technique, then you know, why in your composition as much as you can with pinhole photography, if you can produce an image where the sprockets add to it, other than just pure gimmickry like infrared, then that's got to be the way forward. That's got to be a winning combination. Whereas if you, like me, just plonked it in front of anything, really, to be truthful, and
that's the problem. You don't have any vision, Andrew. You have to create some vision.
Yeah, I know. Oh dear, I feel really depressed. I feel really depressed now.
Oh come on!
It's all right, Andrew. Next time we meet up, we'll assume it's my turn to buy you lunch.
So nice.
I think it probably is. So, Alex, did you want to, if you've got time and you haven't got to go off and put your chess hat on, did you want to tell us a little bit about your involvement in the what's now becoming quite a big not just transatlantic, but worldwide meetup? Absolutely. On World Pinhole Day?
Yeah. So, no, I'd be really, really happy to. I think, you know, coming back to a comment I made earlier about social media being a really positive thing, let me talk a little bit about how this started. So when I started pinhole photography, I knew no one who did it, right? And you know, I think that's probably common for a lot of pinhole photographers. And
mm-hmm.
Really, for sure. You know, without the internet and without social media, I would still know no one, and that includes in my hometown. So, you know, that's the first thing, is this has been, you know, this is kind of what has turned into actually a really big annual event, has kind of started from a commentary on social media. And it's a commentary with I think originally with a lady called Inge van Leipzig, who's based in Rotterdam in the Netherlands. And we were kind of chatting on the Twitters, as you do in the 140 characters. And she kind of said, hey, why not come to Amsterdam for Pinhole Day? And next thing you knew, there were, you know, maybe 10 of us in Amsterdam for Pinhole Day. And I think that was 2015. And, you know, it wasn't just 10 of us from Europe and the Netherlands. So there was Marcus, who I spoke about before, came through from Germany. We had Jesus Schobar from, again, whose surname I've almost certainly mangled, came up from Barcelona. Danny Kalkoven from Netherlands as well was there. Inga, obviously. And then quite remarkably, a few people from the States came over as well. So Todd Schlemmer and his wife came over. And Todd, if you don't know Todd, you really need to check out his both his photography and his cameras. You know,
he's coming on the show, yeah. Alex.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. Well, there you go. There's a plug for Todd, and I'll stop there. So Todd came over. Jeff McConnell, based in New Jersey, who does some really amazing work, particularly solography. And a bunch of other people. Oh, Brendan and Lorraine from Ireland.
Yeah, they were great.
Yeah, so we kind of got together in Amsterdam, and you know, it was great. It, like Pinhole Day this year, it rained and it was a bit miserable, but we had a really great time. And you know, I'd met Marcus before, but I hadn't met anyone else before, so that was fantastic, right? And I was doing a podcast at the time, which you know, I won't talk about too much, but you know, I did some recordings and that type of thing, and it was really good. And at the end of it, we kind of said, well, what are we going to do next year? And we thought, well, you know, of course, if we've been to Europe this year, then next year we should go to the US, which suddenly ended up in us all descending on Seattle and Portland. So, yeah.
Still rainy and gray.
Actually, you know what? The weather was okay, apart from when I took a cycle ride on Bainbridge Island after Pinhole Day, when it rained. And I also discovered that the Pacific Northwest has something that we don't have in Norfolk, which is called hills.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hills and my cycling, and particularly my weight, are really my friend. But that's a separate story for probably a different podcast. Yeah, if you think denim's bad, I tell you, you should see me in Lycra. Oh, yeah, it's beautiful. So, Seattle and Portland that year, we met with a bunch of guys, so folks from PD Exposures, and again, people I'd been both podcasting with. So Jana Ueda, Herschel Pollard came through from Nashville. And, you know, again, it was fantastic. And by then, you know, the tradition had had started. So the following year, we went to Barcelona.
Wow.
A mix of people, you know, locals from Spain. So Jesus was there. Antonio Canadas from Nopo Cameras came through. And then, you know, a bunch of other people. And the group was kind of really beginning to get big. And you know, every year there's a few folks who can't make it for whatever reason. So actually last year I couldn't make it. And last year everyone went to San Francisco. So you've got these really great cities, you know, Amsterdam, one of the world's great cities, Seattle and Portland, you know, fantastic, fantastic cities to go.
Norwich.
Well, this is what I'm building up to, right? Because, you know, Barcelona, San Francisco, and of course, you know, in that litany of fantastic cities, there is obviously one that's missing, which is Norwich in the UK.
It's actually in a county, Corey, called Norfolk, N-O-R-F-O-L-K. And I know you have a Norfolk in Virginia, maybe.
That's where I was born. But I was born in Norfolk.
We're kindred spirits. All three of us were born in Norfolk. Okay.
Oh, there you go. What's that? Although,
Norfolk and good.
Yeah. Yes, Norfolk and good, Norfolk and chance, etc. Yeah, I actually, my five-a-side football team when I was working in Scotland was called Norfolk and Chance. So there you go. Anyway, so yeah, everyone came to Norwich this year, which is amazing. And I think one of the things actually in all seriousness that's really great about this meet is that we always have someone who hosts and you go to places you might not necessarily go to. So, you know, I don't know if I would ever have gone to Seattle and Portland if I hadn't been, you know, doing this. And yeah, Amsterdam for sure, Barcelona probably, San Francisco I've been to anyway. But you know, for these guys coming to Norwich, that's a massive thing, right? Tourists, you know, Norwich is a great city, a lot of history, but it's not on the tourist trail in the UK, particularly if you're
right
coming to the UK for the first time, which some of these guys were.
Sure.
So we had maybe somewhere between 30 and 35 pinhole photographers for the weekend. So that kind of gives you an idea of the size of the group. And
right,
you know, I have to say a couple of things. Firstly, I really have to say thank you to Ellie, my partner, because this took a lot of organization, right? It was my life in my evenings for quite a number of weeks and months beforehand, particularly because we had an exhibition, which I can talk a little about. So, you know, she was fantastic and put up with me kind of burying my head in my laptop when I should have been, you know, talking and socializing with her. And then, you know, just great people coming in and a really nice weekend. And I think, you know, so the photos will be, I think, beginning to get up onto the Pinhole Day website. The gallery group, although I don't know if anyone's using it, I think it's called the WPPD Git Together, G-I-T Together, all one phrase. And we kind of use that hashtag on Instagram as well for reasons that go back to old podcasts and various things.
Right.
So, yeah, fantastic. Loads of folks came over. One of the people I should mention who came over the first time is Moni as well. So Crafty Moni, who... and her husband Raphael came over, and Andrew, I know you've done a pinhole swap with Moni, right?
Yeah, and she's posted those images, I think, just recently, because I gave her the negatives, the double exposed negatives, and she posted those onto Instagram and I think Flickr on her site.
Yeah,
I'm in that too. I'll be getting
you
that
are more.
There you go. So,
and I gave my handheld pinhole portraits to Diane Peterson, and she's going to come on the show as well. I told you that, Corey. She's going to come on.
Yep.
And
Diane does some really interesting work as well. I really like the stuff she does on paper. Yeah. You know,
are they paper negatives a lot on
a lot of them are shot on paper. So I'm not a big paper shooter, but I mean Diane will tell you a lot more about that, right? But I think they're mostly paper negatives and they're mostly single shot, you know, tin cameras. So she's makes her own cameras from tins. But again, you know,
there's a load of weird things with like rabbits. It's a bit like a Donnie Darko vibe going on, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So she's got a fantastic aesthetic. I think the other person, and again, you know, thinking about who are my people who inspire me in pinhole photography, the other person who came through this year for the first time to join the group is Larissa Honsek from Berlin, who was one of the kind of main architects behind the Obscura book, which is how I got to meet a lot of these people face-to-face in the first place. So there's kind of this great circle of social media and then kind of real-life meets come together. So watching Larissa work is always very enjoyable because she's very, very creative and has got a really good idea and a very strong feeling, again, of how an image is going to turn out. And I think, you know, you learn a lot from these people as well. So that, I think, is one of the real advantages of meeting in a group like this, is you see what other people are doing. You see people who are shooting pinhole for the first time, which we had this year. You know, there was different techniques. So we had someone doing digital pinhole for the first time this year, which I have feelings about. But actually, you know, again, his images are really great, right? So technique works for him, makes some really good images. That's what it's about. So
sure,
it's absolutely fantastic. You know, next year, I think the get together location is still to be determined. There's talk of a couple of places, but, you know, once that's decided, you know, we'll make sure that that's shared. And, you know, anyone honestly is welcome to join us, right? This is not an exclusive.
Yeah, this is the first one I've been to, mainly because it was in just like 2 hours down the road. And my wife, Julie, came, and she really didn't know what to expect, but and she's not a photographer, certainly not a pinhole photographer.
Oh my God, she was bored out of her brain, then, wasn't she?
No, she had a lovely time. It was cool. Really, she was made to feel really, really welcome, and we had a nice weekend away. If it had been warmer, that would have been great, you know. But everyone was just so nice, and you know, if we can possibly make it next year, we will do. There was talk of Mexico kept being mentioned. Well, I'd love to go to Mexico, but I'm not sure we can swing that. But we'll see.
So yeah. Mexico may be on the list, and you know, a couple of other locations. You know, part of it is you have to have a host, right? You have to have a host who's local, sure, knows the area, can organise meals, all of that thing. You know, because this is what's really important about it. Yeah, there's the day of shooting pinhole, but for me, right, this is meeting friends. Now, you know.
Yeah.
At first it was, oh, let's get together and see how we get on, and you're not quite sure what to expect. But now this is a chance to meet friends, make new friends.
You new know, contacts, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just have some...
I sat next to Todd, and Todd came up, and because I was using his Terrapin, one of his Terrapin Oscar cameras, and he came up to me and introduced himself. And then I sat next to him over fish and chips in the evening, and we went to the pub next door together to buy beer. And he's just a hoot, isn't he? I think he's a lovely, lovely chap.
And everyone, awesome. You know, that's what's so great about this group is, you know, it is really friendly. Anyone will talk to anyone. Everyone's made to feel really welcome, right? So you've got people who've known each other for a long time and people who are just meeting. So we had a guy come from Slovakia you know, Joseph, had not met anyone apart from myself before, knew Larissa, and then Larissa came, you know, just for the Sunday. But again, right, made to feel really welcome, hopefully had a good time. Bob, who I talked about, who's doing digital, came down from Liverpool, not knowing.
Mm-hmm. And Runcorn, in fact, it was.
Yeah, northwest, you know, it's the wrong side of the country in two ways, right? It's a two-dimensional incorrect place because it's in the north and and on the west coast. So, you know, these are both things that you have to be careful with. But, you know,
yeah.
Sorry, Bob.
Well, I know that I'm going to go ahead and get my papers in to get my passport, because I think I really want to go to the next one. There's no way I could have made it this year. I found out about it way too short on time to get everything together to get out of the country.
You totally should, Corey. I mean, I think, you know, Andrew, I'm obviously, you know, kind of biased because I've been doing this for years. So Andrew, you know, offline can tell you the truth about what it's really, really like. But, you know, I think most people who come for sure have a good time. You get to shoot some pinhole, you get to hang out with pinhole photographers, but actually, you know, do we spend all of the time geeking out about pinhole? And not really, you know, that's part of it, but it's a weekend of a mix of people and interests, and you know, that can only be a good thing, right? And you see
sure.
people trying different things, different techniques, and you get to go to places you might not otherwise go to. So, you know, big up to Pinhole Photography for getting people together, right? You know, that's what it's all about.
Cool.
Yeah, so well all done, right. Alex. It was just, it was a fantastic weekend. And apart from messing up the weather, you did a grand job, buddy.
Well, thank
and,
you.
You remain a constant inspiration to me.
Well, you're very
when we get you on to judge the next one.
Even if you lost, Andrew, you're still being so nice.
Yeah, well, you weren't you're not such an inspiration as you were half an hour ago. Put it that
way. Well, that's fair. And I think, you know, one final note for me. Thank you to everyone also who participated in and submitted to the exhibition that we held as well. You know, that was great. You know, we probably don't have time to go into that now, but end with that. Thank you as well. And yeah, look forward to seeing everyone in Pinhole Day 2019, wherever.
Awesome. That may be. All right. Well, Andrew, Alex, if you have, if you think you've covered your shout outs for the most part, we can just go ahead and close out the show, and you can let everybody know that where to find you if you do that.
Absolutely. So yeah, I think my shouts are outed. So yeah, where can you find me? So physically in Norwich.
Norwich.
A fine city, officially TM in the UK. Although I do travel quite a lot, and then online, probably the easiest thing is go to Instagram and look for Pinholeista. And from there, you'll find my websites and things like that. So Pinholeista on Instagram, you'll be disappointed because not all of it is pinhole, but quite a lot of it is. And you'll find me from there.
Awesome. Andrew? Great.
What, you want me to tell folks where they can find me?
I guess. Go ahead.
Well, if you must, you can find me generically as Warboys Snapper, Warboys Snapper. And I do have a separate Instagram for pinholes. So that's warboysnapper_pinholes. So that's where you can find me. And Corey?
You can find me mainly on Instagram. I haven't quite figured out Flickr yet. So, But on Instagram, I'm Pinhole Cannon. And I'm also doing the show's Instagram, and that's the Lensless Podcast.
And you can also find us on Twitter at The Lensless. That's growing. That's been going a week or 10 days now. And also the Facebook group is growing. I think that's not quite 100 people yet, but it's getting there.
I'm there a lot too. I've been going on there, and
there's some good interaction going on in the Facebook group.
Absolutely.
So some good, and there's about 9 of us on Flickr. So. That's looking pretty sad at the moment, but it's got a lot of potential for dumping photographs in and sharing each other's images.
And you can reach us through the show's email at thelenslesspodcast@yahoo.com if you want to send us a question or a compliment or
abuse.
Something that you're mad about.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of people who would be...
If anyone wants to complain about the judging, then you can... email the show.
Awesome.
I don't mean the judge. He was perfectly fine, I guess, you know. But
it's those damn gimmicks, right?
All about the gimmicks.
All right.
It is.
Well, thanks, Alex, for coming on.
Yeah, thank you.
We really appreciate you giving us your time, and we hope everybody has a great week, and we'll talk to everyone soon.
Great.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello, Corey. Hello, Corey. Hello, Corey. Just me then.